Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. And it's a privilege to share with you from the pages of God's Holy Word this morning on a day that's been set aside by mankind to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas to all of you, from my family to your family, and from my church family to your family. This morning I'm very thankful for the gift of the gospel that the Lord has given to us, and that is supplied here by McClenny Primitive Baptist Church to you and to your family. And that you thank the Lord over the course of the next year, I hope that you will remember to thank him for the dear ones at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church who have faithfully, for now over 30 years, supported the truth of sovereign grace going out over the airwaves in our part of Florida. And now let's turn to one of my favorite passages in all of God's Word that gives an account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The incarnation, that is, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, is an undeniable fact of history. And let the scoffers say and do what they will, it's a fact that cannot be denied. Yet it's a fact that the meaning of which very few understand. The meaning of the incarnation can be understood only by those who are taught of God. All spiritual knowledge comes by divine revelation. Men on their own by searching cannot find him out. Those who are taught of God are well taught. But until a person is taught of God, he cannot know, discern, or understand spiritual things. And Paul's very clear about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And with that fact in mind, let us ever pray as we open the book of God that God the Holy Spirit will teach us the wondrous things revealed in the book. First of all, I want you to notice the men that are chosen. In verse 8, we see the men chosen by God to whom the glad tidings of Christ's birth first came and by whom the message of his birth was first proclaimed. Luke says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The first announcement of Christ's birth did not come to the princes, to the priest, to the educated men at Jerusalem. God passed by the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and made himself and his word known to a few weak, uneducated, insignificant, poor, despised shepherds. And here we see something of God's method of grace. God is no respecter of persons. It is his common method of operation to pass by the high and mighty and choose the poor and the lowly. He normally passes by the wise and prudent and leaves them in their confusion of their imaginary brilliance and reveals his grace and glory in Christ unto babes. This is God's common method of operation in all things. He chooses the most unlikely vessels to be the vessels of mercy, the most unlikely instruments to be the tools with which he performs his wondrous works in this world. Let me say this. Lack of social standing, your financial condition is no barrier against God's grace. Lack of education or even natural ability is no barrier against usefulness. God has mercy on whom he will, and he uses whom he will. And these men were shepherds, hardworking, laboring men and worshipers of God. Honest labor is no barrier to divine worship. And really, there should be no need for that statement. But there are some who seem to think that piety is sitting at home, reading their Bible, studying theology, and letting other people assume their responsibilities. Nothing could be further from the truth. Our Lord teaches us plainly that men and women who neglect their families and responsibilities in the name of worshiping and serving God have denied the faith. I'm telling you, I've known many in God's service who just spend all of their time away from their families, never with their children, never with their wives, and lost their families as a result. And I'm telling you, God had rather they had spent less time on the evangelical trail and more time maintaining their families. He who worships God does it best as he serves the Lord in all the areas that God has called him to serve him. And that begins at home. It begins on the job place. Honest labor is no barrier to holiness. Being diligent in our jobs is no hindrance to divine instruction. Moses was keeping sheep when God appeared to him in the bush and called him to be a prophet. Gideon was threshing wheat when the Lord called him to deliver Israel. Elisha was plowing the field when God made him a prophet. In fact, I can't find any place in the book of God where any man ever up and volunteered, except for a false prophet. No, God's men are conscripted. Notice next these angelic messengers. In verses 9 through 14, Luke tells us that the angel of the Lord was sent of God to announce our Savior's birth. Then suddenly, a great multitude of angels appeared praising God. The language used by the Spirit of God in this passage suggests that all the host of heaven, all the angels, suddenly flew like a bolt of lightning to join in the praise of God who is now manifest in the flesh. It's written, "When he bringeth his first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." Paul quotes that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. And I believe that may be what he's referencing. The first worshipers of the incarnate God, God manifest as a babe in the flesh, were not the sinners he'd come to save, but the angels who had never sinned. And let me say, there's much more here than I'm able to grasp. But when I think of the entire host of heaven rushing to the earth to worship our Savior as he came into the world, two things are obvious. What great interest the angels of God have in the person and work of Christ, and how greatly the angels of heaven must love God's elect. You know, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us they protect God's chosen, preserving the elect. And then it tells us in Luke 15:10 that they rejoice in the conversion of God's children as they repent. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells us that the angels meet with the assemblies of God's saints that they might learn from us the wonders of redemption. And finally, in Hebrews 12, they're gathered with us when the church meets, the general assembly of the elect family of God, all the elect angels of heaven. And then notice the message that we have here from those angels. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The message of the incarnation of God, God manifest in the flesh, is a good tiding. The gospel of the grace of God is not good advice, it's good news, it's good tidings. The coming of Christ to save his people reveals the goodwill and amazing love of God to his family. The good tidings of grace declare that all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in Christ. These are good tidings of great joy, of joy unspeakable and full of glory, everlasting joy and peace of God's salvation. The good tidings of grace proclaimed in the gospel are to all the people. The words which shall be unto all the people do not suggest that the gospel brings joy to all without exception. Let me say this. The gospel does not bring joy to all men. The gospel did not bring joy to Herod, to the scribes, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees. To some, it brings great condemnation. To the reprobate, it's a savor of death unto death, Paul said. But it does bring great joy to all nations. That is, all of God's people that are scattered among all nations, both Jew and Greek, Paul would say, both bond and free, both male and female, to all of his saints, wherever they may be. In every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation, God has his people everywhere. And it's joy to them, no matter the nation that they're found in. Out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue. The message of the incarnation is the proclamation of the sovereign Lord who has come to save his people from their sins. Notice what is said in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You notice that? The "you" unto whom Christ was born, whom he came to save, is God's people. The one of whom the angel spoke is a Savior. A Savior is one who saves. not one who merely tries to save or merely offers salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the Christ, the Christos of God. That means God's anointed. The man who is our Savior, anointed of God, is himself the Lord. He is the Lord our God, the Lord our righteousness, and the Lord of all. He's the Lord and the Savior of whom Isaiah spoke. And that little baby that was born in Bethlehem of Judea and that was laid in that manger, that little child was larger than the universe into which he was born. It's amazing, isn't it, my friends? Luke, writing by divine inspiration in verse 12, tells us pointedly that the virgin and her child of whom Isaiah spoke in Isaiah 7:14 is Mary, and the Lord Jesus is her virgin-born child. Isaiah said, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." It's the angel's message to the shepherds. The message of the incarnation, the message of the gospel, is the revelation and the declaration of the glory of God in Christ. And suddenly, Luke says, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." The psalmist declared that his glory would be great in God's salvation, and it is. The gospel is called the gospel of the glory of God. In the gospel, we see the wisdom and the power of God in creation. We see the justice and truth of God in the law. We see something about the holiness and the righteousness of God. But the glory of God is nowhere seen as it is revealed in the coming obedience and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ as the sinner substitute. Nature teaches us a great deal. You can understand a great deal about the power of God in nature. But nothing so vividly shows us the glory of God as the coming, the obedience, and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sinner substitute. Only in Christ crucified do we see how God can both be a just God and a Savior of sinners. Only at Calvary do we see all the infinite perfections of God's glorious holy being in complete and perfect harmony. Only at Calvary can we see his wisdom and his prudence in the scheme of redemption. We see his mercy and his love and his grace are manifest in giving his son to be our sin atoning sacrifice. And we behold his justice and truth in the execution of our blessed Redeemer as he bears our sins for us and absorbs the loss of our guilt. And we see and know his faithfulness in forgiving sin for Christ Jesus' sake. Oh, my friends, it's amazing. The gospel, the message of the incarnation, is the proclamation on earth of peace. On earth, peace. Let me say this. The gospel nowhere promises political peace in this world. It does not promise political peace, civil peace, domestic peace, carnal peace of any kind, just the opposite. Our Lord Jesus said, "I came not to send peace but a sword." The peace which has come to the earth is Christ himself, who is our peace. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our mediator, our go-between us and God, our substitute, made peace where it counts. Not NATO peace, not UN peace, but he made peace between the holy offended God and fallen guilty sinners, so that God is no longer angry with us, but because of the blood of his cross, He has made peace through guilty, nail-pierced, holy veins. Jesus bore the loss. He's made us a legal and lasting peace for us. And Christ, who is our peace, gives us peace, peace which passeth all understanding. He gives us the peace of his pardon, the peace of his providence, the peace of his presence. And our Savior establishes and maintains peace between us and God. The message of the incarnation is God's goodwill toward his family. The Holy Spirit does not leave us to guess what that goodwill of God toward man is. It's not a book in which we must fill in the blanks. God, the Holy Spirit, tells us what the goodwill of God toward man is. God's goodwill is the salvation of his elect family by Christ Jesus for the everlasting praise and glory of his own great name. That's his goodwill. The next thing we want to see, after we've seen the nature of those that he appeared to, and the messengers that he used in appearing to those shepherds, we want to look at the obedient faith. We must never overlook the obedience of faith exemplified in these humble men. Notice in verses 15 through 19, it came to pass as the angels were gone away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, that is the babe, they made known abroad the saying which was told unto them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved, when our path of duty is clear, when we know what the will of the Lord is, when we know what he would have us do, we must not do as Paul said when he was converted. He said that when the Lord got hold of him on the road to Damascus, he told the Galatians, he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, but he went into the street called straight. When the Lord shows us what our duty is, as he showed the shepherds on that night 2,000 years ago, when our path of duty is clear, we should not confer with flesh and blood. Obedience is always right. These shepherds did not stop and say to themselves or one another, notice this, who will take care of our sheep? Someone must keep them from the wolves. They left their sheep in the care of him who told them to go to Bethlehem. Who was that? The God of the angels who brought the message. Let us do the same. God has called me to preach the gospel. That's my responsibility. I'm his servant. If I would serve him faithfully, I must leave the care at times of my family in his hands. And I've had to do that over the course of the years. And anything less on my part would be disobedience. In fact, the Lord has very specifically promised that none shall ever suffer loss by obeying him. And with these words, let us go forward into the new year. As with these shepherds, our journey's end will be glorious. Our pilgrim journey in this world, begun in faith, will end in praise if we'll obey the one who has sent us. Notice how they end. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so it shall be with us if we will only do what the Lord has called us to do. He'll make a way. Whatever He's called you to do, you do it. Has He called you to be a mother? Are you concerned that you've allowed other activities and responsibilities to come in your life and you're losing touch with your family, with your children? You may be able to get by on less money than you're making, climbing the corporate ladder. As a dad, are you so preoccupied with keeping up with all of your buddies and all of your hobbies and all of your toys that you're losing touch with your family? God's called you to be a husband. God's called you to be a mother. Let me ask you this. Is your family, mom and dad, is your family so busy with the things of this world you can no longer attend service? You may need to lay some things aside. God's called us all to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. It's simple. Just do what the shepherds did. God called them to go to Bethlehem, and they put aside anything that would hinder them and left everything in the care of Him who sent them. Remember the words of Mary at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee to the servants. Her words to those servants at the wedding feast. She sent them to the Savior and she told them, whatever He tells you to do, do it. And they did. Whether it made sense to them or not, they put water in the pots and Jesus turned the water to wine. And if we'll obey Him and do in the next year what He's told us to do, very simply, in His Word, whether we understand everything He's asked us to do or not, He'll turn the water of our life into wine. Thank God for that child who became a man, lived, bled and died, and was resurrected again for us, the man Christ Jesus. Until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all, is my prayer for Christ's sake. Merry Christmas.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.